We have Boston Celtics draft rumors. Are they trying to trade back into the first round? Plus other things that people are asking about, like Bradley Beal, PJ Tucker, Gordon Hayward. I'm talking about it all right now on the Locked On Celtics podcast.
Be ever ready. Recognize the city of champs. Boston, baby, we do what you can't. Locked on number 18, Tatum and Brown, J-team, step back. We gon' wet that and slay teams. Of course, the Celtics, who else could it be? Screaming like KG with the Larry O.B. Corrales above average, assessing the team status. Best daily pod, no cap, salary matching. Clutch like Bird to DJ, keep John on replay. Prime time, dapping up the truth on the sideline. Raining J's, how it started, raising banners, how we finished. Locked on Celtics, pod, home of the winners. B.
Hey there, welcome back to the Lockdown Celtics podcast. Thank you for making this show part of your daily routine. This show is free. It's available. It's everywhere, Monday through Friday, even now, especially now because we've got draft night Thursday night. Then free agency starts in like 8 days. So we have a lot going on. Lots of rumors are starting to pop up. The Celtics have been kind of free of rumors, but now that the finals are over and business is starting to take place, the Celtics are now being involved in some of these trade rumors. I'm John Corrales. I cover the Boston Celtics for Boston Sports Journal. I've also written a book called The Boston Celtics All-Time All-Stars, and I was one of the media voters for the Celtics 75th anniversary team. Let's start with the draft night rumors. There are a couple out there that are, I think, tied together. One comes from Jake Fisher of Bleacher Report, which says Boston is looking to acquire a pick in the back half of the first round, and they appear willing to engage in conversations on rotation players like Grant Williams and Peyton Pritchard, but only for the right price. Okay. Zach Harper, friend of mine from The Athletic, says the Celtics are high on Tyree Eason and could be looking to move into the first round to grab Eason by dangling a young role player like Peyton Pritchard or Aaron Nesmith. Okay, let's examine this. Are the Celtics really looking to trade into the first round? Is this somebody that they're looking for? Are they looking to get help through the draft to get the type of help that they need? Well, Eason is somebody that kind of fits, right? 6'7", primarily, you know, a guy who's known as a defender, athletic, a big guy who's quick, an open floor scorer who shot 37% from three last year, so has some potential as a three-point shooter, a 3-and-D guy. They could say, hey, we'll take him. Well, if they can get into the back half of the draft, knowing that he's available, and he's a 21-year-old guy, he's a little older, so maybe a little bit more maturity there. They could be saying, hey, this is a young guy that maybe we can work into the system. He'll get some shots. Obviously, the big thing for him is that he's a defender, a big-time defender, and can hit the three-pointer. Now, whether he can hit it at the NBA level, whether he can stay on the floor at the NBA level, still yet to be determined. You've got guys that they're talking about here. Pritchard, his name is mentioned now in both rumors, Nesmith and Grant Williams. I don't think Grant Williams is going to be involved in any sort of draft night. That's if you want to trade Grant Williams, we can talk about that. We can. It's just not in this scenario. I don't think you're trading Grant Williams for a swing at a young guy. Peyton Pritchard, yeah, I can see a swing. This Celtics team, if you're going to say, hey, youth, well, if you're gonna try to get some youth in that can help this team the way Ime Udoka wants to, all right, I can see Pritchard, I can see Nesmith, I can see that being if you're a team in the middle of the draft, 15 through 30, and you're looking for immediate help, well, Pritchard could be immediate help. Nesmith, at least you know some of his body of work, you know what he needs to work on, and you can say, hey, we feel better about him and developing him than we do maybe one of these guys in this position. Maybe. It depends on the team. This totally depends on the team, right? It could be, if you're looking at the Charlotte Hornets, they could say, yeah, we'd love this guy. Or if you're looking at one of the other teams, then they could say, no, we hate this guy. So it's definitely on a team by team basis. I am hesitant to believe that any sort of draft night trade is imminent. I'm hesitant to believe that the Celtics are looking at the draft as this is where we're going to get the type of player that we need. At the same time, the type of player that you need is hard to get on the open market in the NBA. So if a 6'7 defense first open court athlete who is coachable and moldable, if he becomes available, and hey, maybe he's a project, maybe this year he, you know, the first season he spends time in the G League or whatever, gets limited time and he just gets his run in Portland, then sure, maybe you develop him over the course of a year or two and he becomes that next generation. I mean, look, I think there is some validity to that plan. Look, the Warriors are getting that with Moody and Kuminga. Like, that's, they obviously sucked for a year because of all of their injuries, and they got help in the draft, and now that's being integrated. But also, they're counting on guys who got like some level of run and exposure to the NBA game. So anyway, I think there's validity to this, but I don't know if it rises to the level of something we should expect. It depends. I think it just depends on if one of the guys that they're looking for, that they're high on, is available at a spot where there is a trade. And look, there are opportunities to trade out of or to trade into that spot. There are a lot of teams in that range, in that middle of the draft range. Charlotte with 15, Atlanta's looking to make a move. Houston could make a move. There are teams in that range. You know, who knows what OKC is going to do? The New York Knicks could be looking for help. The Wizards. So that's that. Now you're going up to the top 10, which might be too high. But there are teams in that range that have some appetite to make a deal. Is this the type of deal that they're looking for? I don't know. I don't know that Peyton Pritchard moves the needle or Nesmith moves the needle. Grant would move the needle. But again, Grant has extraordinary value. Despite having a tough finals, he's a young guy who's versatile and has proven himself to be able to hit three-pointers. They're not moving Grant Williams for a draft pick unless all of his back and forth with Ime just pissed Ime off to a point. But I don't think they have that kind of relationship. I think they have a good relationship. I think they actually have a good relationship. So I don't see that kind of move. Pritchard, I can understand because he's small. And when he's in, he has to be hidden. And I think they would rather have a guy, again, versatile 6'7 defender that you don't have to hide on defense. That fits the profile. So, you know, on a scale of 1 to 10, I'll put this at like a four of potentially happening, a 3 or a 4, which is better than a 0. And I don't think anything is at an 8 or a 9 unless you start hearing Woj, you know, really start tweeting about it. So we'll keep an eye on it. There is the potential. I'm now, my interest is peaked. There is the potential for the Celtics to trade into the middle to back half of the first round. I don't know. We'll see. There is also the potential. If they do that, I think they are also willing to say, hey, we know we can get the immediate help from veterans that we sign, and we're willing to take this person. And in a year or two, when Brad Stevens said short-term help, take a guy for a year or two that you sign. Then after he goes away, the guy that you draft now slides in after some development. So, like I said, I'm intrigued. I'm also intrigued by some of the other rumors out there PJ Tucker, Nicholas Batum, Jeremy Grant, Bradley Beal, all of that stuff is coming up after I get back. But first, let's talk about maybe my favorite news. NBA Jam is back. And if you're watching me on YouTube, I've got my Bird McHale NBA Jam t-shirt. But NBA Jam is back in arcade form. Arcade 1UP, the leader in home retro arcade games, is not only bringing back the best game ever, they've made it bigger than ever with a Shaq edition machine. That is a full-sized, legit NBA Jam machine. People are obsessed with NBA Jam. I'm obsessed with NBA Jam, and I'm thrilled to tell you, you can once again play hoops with NBA legends in this arcade classic. You know how it works. Jump clear across the court, set the ball on fire. It's one of the first sports games ever to feature real and digitized NBA licensed teams. No fouls, no free throws, no quarters required. Compete with your friends and family through all new Wi-Fi leaderboards, making you more connected than ever. Pre-order now from Arcade 1UP. That's arcade, the number one, up.com for an estimated early September ship date. Arcade 1UP is the place for fun. They've got even more classics like Golden Tee, Mortal Kombat, and many others starting at just $399. If you are looking to fill your man cave or get a gift for, you know, any arcade fan, I'm very interested in this. And not only that, they are giving away an NBA Jam Shaq edition to a Locked On listener. Enter for a chance to win a game console for your man cave at arcade1up.com/lockedon. That's arcade, the number one, up.com/lockedon. You have until July 8th to enter to win NBA Jam Shaq edition. Don't miss out. Enter today. Who are you going to play with? The answer is me. You're playing with me. You know that, right? I just gave you all of the Celtics draft rumor stuff. If for some reason the Celtics do trade into the first round, I will go live on Locked On Celtics YouTube. So make sure you're subscribed to the YouTube channel for an immediate reaction. This is going to be happening across the network, live reactions right after the draft pick. So about 15 minutes after the pick is made, you can head on over to the Locked On Celtics YouTube or whichever team YouTube for immediate reaction. So make sure you're subscribed so you know when I go live. If I go live, should the Celtics make one of these moves? All right, there are a couple of other rumors out there that I want to address. First of all, Nicholas Batum, who opted out of, I think it was $8 million, but is looking to, I think, stick with the Clippers. But the Celtics have been tied to that. I don't think anything's happening with Nicholas Batum. He is a little older, and they are looking for somebody more reliable, and he has been playing well for the Clippers. He is a short-term answer that the Celtics, I think, would like to have. You can certainly throw 20 minutes of Nick Batum out there and, I think, get some decent defense and some spot-up shot-making. And the Celtics can certainly use that. And you know that he's not going to get rattled by the moment because he's been in the league forever. That's very much the type of player that the Celtics are looking for, but he's I think looking for a little bit more in a single payday than the Celtics are going to be able to pay, because they're going to only offer the taxpayer mid-level, and they're going to say, hey, you can be a ring, you know, you can maybe get a ring with us. But also the Clippers have Paul George and Kawhi Leonard, and they can say, yeah, also you can get a ring with us. It's possible. So I think Nick Batum, that's a zero on my 0 to 10. That's not going to happen. PJ Tucker opted out of his deal in Miami. Mark Stein reports that the Sixers are ready to line up a 3-year, $30 million contract for PJ Tucker. That is a lot of money. First of all, the Celtics can't compete with 3 years, $30 million. The most they can do is starting at $6.4 million approximately, and then give raises off of that. But 3 years, $30 million is a bit more than what the Celtics can offer. And they the Sixers can, you know, they obviously have Harden, and they have Embiid, and that's just two players that I think will be attractive to PJ Tucker. So if that's the case, then Celtics are going to be out of that running. They're not going to be able to compete with that. And it should be noted that PJ Tucker played for Daryl Morey. Daryl Morey was the GM for while Tucker was playing in Houston. So that's there's some familiarity there. So I would expect maybe the Sixers to pay a little bit more for Tucker than maybe the Celtics could. So PJ Tucker, I would say, is out. Gordon Hayward is a name that's popped up. Gordon Hayward, Charlotte wants to dump Gordon Hayward. And there is, so it's kind of funny. The Celtics no longer have the Gordon Hayward traded player exception. You can't just take him back because that expired and it was used for Evan Fournier. And then Evan Fournier moved and the Hayward traded player exception got trimmed down into the Fournier traded player exception. That's expiring soon. And the Celtics need to use that. They probably don't want to waste that. However, so there's no traded player exception to get Gordon Hayward. He makes about $30 million. The Charlotte Hornets reportedly want to dump him. They want to attach a first-round pick. Huh. Celtics are looking for a first-round pick. If Charlotte wants to give up the 15th pick and get rid of Gordon Hayward, interesting. All right, let's talk. Charlotte's trying to get rid of that 15th pick so they can make sure they open up enough space so when they pay Miles Bridges that they're not going deep into the tax. They don't want to pay the tax. That's fine. Bridges is young, intriguing talent. Whether they give him the max or not, I don't care, but it's probably too much, but whatever. And so Hayward is kind of on the block potentially. So what can the Celtics do? And I don't, first of all, let me say this. Hayward is kind of what the Celtics need. Hayward is kind of exactly the type of player the Celtics could really, really use right now. Versatile wing defender who can do a little bit of everything, can hit a shot, can play make, can defend. He is exactly what the Celtics need. Now at $30 million, that's a super expensive player. And he is still hurt a lot. He just continues to have horrible injury luck. Sprains an ankle, does this, does that. He just can't shake the injury bug. So that's a lot of money. And how did the Celtics even get him? Well, it depends on what the Hornets are looking for, but I don't see any easy path to Gordon Hayward either. You can do Hayward for Al Horford, but I don't think that's something the Celtics want to do. You have somebody reliable in Horford. Hayward certainly can give you a lot of production and is younger. And the Charlotte Hornets do need a center. They need a center to help them defensively. So they might say, hey, Horford for Hayward. And if the Celtics say, give us that first round pick and you get Horford, you get off of that salary a year sooner, then maybe that's something that's attractive to the Charlotte Hornets. I don't think that's attractive to Boston. I don't think getting Hayward back in to give up Horford. I'd rather treat Horford like, you know, wrap him in bubble wrap a little bit for next season than trade him away. But that is an avenue, and it depends on what do the Celtics need. I think the Celtics highly value Al Horford and aren't looking to move him. So I consider that avenue probably a non-starter. Now, Daniel Theis can be the foundation of a deal, but then you have to attach either Smart or Derek White. I'm sure Charlotte would love to have like a Marcus Smart there, and they'll take Daniel Theis as a reasonable center. That's something that they would do. But why on earth would anyone trade Smart for Hayward, considering Hayward makes $30 million, and there's no guarantee that he's going to play any more than 50 or 60 games for you. As much as I think that his injury luck is bad luck and it's not connected to other things, just he just continues to have these injuries. Just he can't shake it. So, and I'm not looking to move Smart. If I'm moving Marcus Smart, it's for a much bigger name than Gordon Hayward. That he's going to be in the foundation for a much bigger deal than Gordon Hayward. Hayward is, if Hayward made $17 million, I would do a week of podcasts saying, get Hayward for the TPE, take that 15th pick, take Hayward, take the money, pay the extra tax, do whatever you need to do later, get Hayward back in Boston. I would be 100%, 1,000,000% for it. At $30 million, what it would take to get him, there's no easy way to get him. There's no palatable way to get him. I just don't see it. It's interesting that Theis plus Smart gets you up to a $30 million player. That's an interesting kind of scenario there. I think that could be, or Derek White. But also, again, when Brad Stevens yesterday said they're not looking to change the identity of this team, I don't think including Smart or White gets you where the Celtics need to be, unless the return is a big time player that can help keep that identity in check. So no Batum, no Tucker, no Hayward. Although there's certainly a part of me that says, God, I wish there was a way to get Hayward back to Boston. I just wish there was a way that could be worked out. I just don't see a palatable way for that to happen. Now, another guy who makes like $30 million right now is Bradley Beal. What about him? Is he gettable? A lot of people have been asking that. I'll get to that when I come back. Hey, remember to check my Twitter, John_Corrales. I've been tweeting out the updates. We're up to about a little over $700 donated to the Dana-Farber Cancer Institute. I am shaving my beard for the Friday game. So Friday game. I'm shaving my beard. I'm going to do it anyway. So I thought, hey, let's raise some money. Maybe we can have some fun with it. So right now, if this is your first time hearing it, I'll try to remember to put the link in the description on YouTube and on the podcast, but go to my Twitter, John_Corrales, and you can get the details on how to donate. If we get to $1,000 for the Dana-Farber Cancer Institute, I will shave my beard into any dumb shape that people vote for. I have a few suggestions. One of them is a monkey tail, which will come down the side, wrap up around my mustache, the swirl. So everything else on the side will come out. And it's just one big swirl around my face. So there's one thing. The other one is the Starburns, the old community character Starburns, but with shamrocks. I don't know if I can do it. Look, I got to be able to pull this off. I will try if that's the winner. I will put a poll out. So, and then somebody suggested I try to shave just the white and leave the black. The problem is there's a lot of white in there, so it'd be very blotchy. But I guess that's the point. Whatever it is. So thank you to everybody who's donated. Make me look stupid or stupider on Friday, and we'll have some fun with it. Final thing that I think people are asking me about is Bradley Beal. And so here's the situation. Bradley Beal hasn't done it yet, but he is reportedly opting out of the final year of his deal, which is $30 million or so. Let's see. What's the final year of his deal? I should have been $33.7 million. Oh, I'm sorry. No. That's this year. The final year of his deal is $36 million. So he's opting out of that, reportedly. And people are like, oh, my God, can the Celtics get him? So by opting out, that eliminates the Celtics. The Celtics don't have the money to sign him. and they can't bring him in via sign and trade because that will hard cap them. And the Celtics are already functionally over the hard cap line. They're not hard capped necessarily. There are a few ways to get hard capped. This is very specific stuff. This is technical stuff, but just be aware. When the Celtics accept a player via sign and trade, when they say, Bradley Beal, you're a free agent, we will you, Washington, sign and trade him to Boston. Now the Celtics are hard capped, and that line is $154, $155 million. If you use your full mid-level exception, anything above the taxpayer mid-level, which is 6.4. So if you say, hey, we're giving this guy $7 million, of the tax of the mid-level exception, that becomes the full. Once you're over the taxpayer line, the taxpayer mid-level, then you're hard cap. If you use the full mid-level, this is what happened with Tristan Thompson a couple of years ago. That's the other way. That's number two. Third way is you use a thing called a biannual exception. That's a very small exception that comes up every couple of years. It's worth $3-4 million or so. That'd be a dumb way to hard cap yourself. So those are the three triggers for a hard cap. Just because you're over the hard cap line doesn't mean you're hard capped. You have to do one of those three things, and then the hard cap sets in. And that is locked down, hard cap, cannot spend one penny over that. And you can't do it at any point in the season. It's not like the luxury tax where you can say, oh, we're going to spend 160, and just by the end of the season, as long as you're down below that hard cap, you're good. No, you are not allowed at any point of the season to exceed that number. So can the Celtics get Bradley Beal in a way through an actual sign and trade? Yes, there would probably be a technical way to go do it. However, the Celtics would have to renounce all of their exceptions. So no TPE, none of that stuff, no mid-level, no none of that to bring in Bradley Beal. And okay, so at that point you'd have Beal and Tatum and Brown, but what are you giving up? What are you giving up to get that? You can say, hey, it's Tice and Smart and salary filler and whatever picks, and that'll get it, and you can match the number pretty close, and that'll get you to where you need to be. Fine, that gets you to where you need to be. Now you've given up two or three players to get this guy, and you've given up your identity, your defensive identity, and now you have literally only minimum contracts to give out. And on top of that, you have left yourself no wiggle room. So if a player becomes available during the trade deadline that wants to come to Boston, and you can't get that done without going above the line, you can only match certain salaries, then you're stuck. And you have to have 12 guys on the team. So you have to make sure you have 12 guys on the roster. You can't cut anybody because that counts towards the salary cap. So all of these mechanisms are, you're crippling yourself. Once Bradley Beal opts out, he is no longer an option for Boston. And I don't think Boston cares. I don't think they care to sign Bradley Beal. I don't think that's the direction they want to go at all. But people are asking, and so that's the answer. If he opts in to the $36 million, the 36.4, and then says, trade me, well, now Boston can match, and they don't have to renounce anything. Because he's opting in, he's already under contract, and the Celtics can bring him in, and whatever the Washington Wizards accept, they accept. And if you go to $170 million payroll, $180 million payroll, doesn't matter, because you didn't hard cap yourself via one of those three triggers, right? So just because your number is up that high doesn't mean you're hard capped. Hopefully you follow that, but basically, And why then is Bradley Beal opting out? Because by opting out, he is able to make more money as a free agent. So I should have led with this. He's probably staying in Washington anyway. But just in case anybody was wondering, there is no functional way to get Bradley Beal in Boston once he opts out. There is a technical way to do it, but it is a horrible option that cripples the team and gives you no wiggle room and would be the absolute worst thing the Celtics can do because you couldn't back out of it. You'd be done. And that's it. No more moves all season. No nothing. No trade deadline. No nothing. It'd be very, very difficult to do. They're not going to do it. So I'll leave it at that. We'll see what happens on draft night. Thursday night is draft night. If the Celtics trade up and or get into that first round, then all of a sudden you got yourself a hell of a story. I think that it's probably unlikely, but the rumors are interesting. The rumors are interesting. And they kind of like, you know, piques my interest a little bit. You say, maybe, who knows? I will be here after draft night. That'll be a much later show. This is almost like a post-game show because the draft has to happen. Then Brad Stevens will speak. And then I will probably write a story and then do a podcast. So late podcast. And I will do it with a dumb beard if we can get to $1,000 contributed to the Dana-Farber Cancer Institute. I will put the link down below on YouTube or in the podcast, however you get your podcast. But also, you can find the link on Twitter, on my Twitter account, John_Corrales. Thank you for listening. Thank you for subscribing. If you haven't subscribed yet, please do. The show is free. It's available. It's a Monday through Friday show. And it's on YouTube, as I've said. So if you are a YouTube subscriber, share the podcast with your friends, with your family, with everybody. Tell them they should be listening to and watching the Locked On Celtics podcast right here on the Locked On Podcast Network.